Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Burrow looking deep for Chase, and Chase makes the adjustment, and Chase will walk in for his second touchdown of the season. 42 yards.
You're listening to BetQL Daily, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook, with Joe Ostrowski, Joe Giglio, and Aaron Hawksworth from BetQL.
Welcome back. It is BetQL Daily, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Joe O, Joe G, Aaron Hawksworth. We have five more NFL games to go through for week number three, including Ja'Marr Chase and the Bengals. But first, Aaron Hawksworth's got to take us off the board.
It's time for Aaron Hawksworth to take us off the board on BetQL Daily, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
All right, folks, the NFL is planning to alter its playoff schedule. Listen to this. Wild Card Weekend is likely to have two Saturday games, three Sunday games, and wait for it, a Monday night game. Do we love this? Do we hate it? I think I'm excited for it. Why not spread the love to Monday night as well?
Yeah, as a fan, and for us, like, it's awesome, right? Like, we get to talk about a game on Monday night, and it just extends Wild Card Weekend, which is a great weekend. But I do think it's competitively, it's not great for the NFL, like, for the team that plays Monday night, for the winner. So Warren Sharp had this yesterday. I thought it was interesting. Since 2002, here are the against the spread records of Sunday winners of Wild Card Weekend, right? Because the Sunday winner could play on a short week the next week. Could be Saturday, could be Sunday, but the Sunday winner by day of their next game. So if the Sunday winner on Wild Card Weekend played the next Sunday, full rest, they were 19-7-1, 73% against the spread going wild card to the divisional round if you play on Sunday. Saturday, so if you played on Sunday, you go Saturday. So no matter what, the Monday night winner is going to play on short rest. It's because it kind of applies this way. It goes down to 6-6, 50% against the spread. 73-50 since 2002. Wild card winner, short week.
My first reaction is I question that because I think the better teams play on Sunday. So they're naturally going to have a better record. Right? Isn't that usually how it works out?
So yeah, my gut tells me that first game of the first Saturday of Wild Card Weekend, they put the dud game.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So that's a fair point that maybe it's a little bit biased towards.
And maybe I'm TV. Wrong. Maybe I'm wrong, but I wonder if there is some context there.
Yeah, but it is also a short week. Like, but you're playing Monday night's a short week. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's fun though.
You can't go Monday to Saturday. I wouldn't mind it. Did we like the change with the triple header for both days? I mean, that was pretty phenomenal too.
It was. Here's my only problem though. Are they giving this thing to ESPN? Because I'm not listening to Greasy and Riddick on a playoff game.
You're it's getting Monday a Manning broadcast for the playoffs.
All right. Yeah. I'll watch it then.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think ESPN's going to want it, right? It's Monday Night Football. How could they not take that game and give them a playoff game? All right. So we have a short week wild card, but that'll be fun. Monday Night Football in the playoffs. I don't know if either of these teams are going to be there in the playoffs this year, but we do get an interesting game this weekend. The Bengals at the Steelers. And this number has been moving all week. What's the latest number? Because this was at one point 4.5, and then this moved down. I saw it last night at Bengals getting 3, Steelers 3-point favorite at home in Pittsburgh. Joe, I know you've been on Pittsburgh this week. I mean, here's one for you. Joe Burrow's been sacked a lot, 9 times already. Cincinnati allowed the 6th highest pressure rate so far this season, and we know the Steelers get after every quarterback. That's why I like Pittsburgh in this game, in an ugly game. And we're looking at Ben compromise with the pec injury.
Yeah, I don't know. I lean Pittsburgh. That's where the public is right now. A lot of books reporting around that 80% mark. I just look at the Steelers, and it feels like it's cheap. I don't ever remember the Steelers only being 3-point favorites against the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Bengals are not coming off a great performance. Burrow with a ton of turnovers last week in Chicago. But they can't move the ball. I mean, I've been fading the Steelers a whole bunch, and they were so bad last week against the Raiders. You should have smoked Vegas. I don't care who got injured on defense during that game. They should have smoked them. But what I do feel better about on the Pittsburgh side is Watt, good to go. Hayden, good to go. The question is the health of Ben. I mean, Ben's bad healthy right now, but how is he hobbled? So that's a big question mark. I lean Pittsburgh, but it feels kind of gross.
It feels like a gross game. Yeah, I mean, it feels like a low-scoring, ugly game. I'll say it this way. If the Bengals somehow could keep Joe Burrow upright, they could certainly win this game. I mean, they have the better quarterback. And anytime I'm getting points with the better quarterback, and I know Burrow's kind of up and down still at this point of his career, but I have to consider it. So I would lean Steelers. I won't play this game.
What do you think the look ahead was?
Steelers 4.5?
7.
Seven.
Before the Raiders, before the Raiders game. Yeah.
Wow. So. Well, it was the Steelers coming off the win in Buffalo. So that kind of adds to it.
Been healthy. Yeah.
Right. Boy. That's got to be one of the biggest shifts. Maybe the Broncos Jets was a big shift, but this has to be one of the biggest shifts of the week. All right, let's move to a game that we're all going to be watching. Whether you're watching in the red zone or you're watching it just straight up. I imagine this is the Buck Aikman game on Sunday afternoon.
It's got to be.
Yeah, they got to be out there in Los Angeles. The Bucks and the Rams. I can't wait for this game. Aaron, you and I believe have been on the same side of this. We think the Rams are going to win the game. I think the Rams are going to win this game. Tampa's banged up in the secondary, and there's a great chemistry right now between Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp. And I think if Stafford can have time, he's going to hit him down the field. I think the Rams are beating the Bucks, Aaron.
I agree. I think Tom Brady looks as good as ever, despite being 44 years old. He has 9 touchdown passes in 2 games, but he faced Atlanta and Dallas. I think the Rams defense with Aaron Donald, I almost said Darnold.
We have Darnold on the mind today.
So how confusing is that? So you got Aaron Donald, and we were watching Sam Darnold last night, and then you had tight end Dan Arnold.
Who's kind of like the child between the two of them. Like, he's like their kid, Dan Arnold.
Yeah, it's a baby.
Also, Aaron Donald will get pressure, not Sam Darnold. Not that I was going to say that, but I got a little tongue twister. The Rams' pass coverage in the secondary, pretty legit. So if the Bucs have any weakness, it's their secondary. Tampa Bay has allowed 342 yards per game through the air to rank 30th in the league. Sean McVay is going to be all over that. I think he's going to exploit that. And Matthew Stafford's going to have some success in the passing game. So I like the Rams.
I love that so many people have strong takes on this game. I'm not one of them. Do they both have great offenses? Yep. They both have great defenses? Yeah. The Bucs we thought was a little better. We'll see how they play this week. I don't know that the defenses are going to matter when we're talking about two supreme offenses, certainly top 5. Do they both have great teams? I hesitate on great a little bit with the Rams, but they're really good. They're both top 5 teams. So, but it's fascinating because people have such strong opinions that the favorite flipped this week. At one point, it was -2 in favor of the Rams. Now it's -1.5 in favor of the Bucks. The total has been sitting in the mid-50s. What I find most fascinating about this matchup is Jalen Ramsey. What are they going to do with this guy? Is he going to play one side of the field? Is he going to move around? Is he going to shadow anyone? Ian Harditz over at Pro Football Focus wrote up that Ramsey shadowed 3 different times last year, and he was successful against Evans last year, shadowed him, 5 grabs, 49 yards, 1 touchdown. Against Davante Adams, the Packers, he held him to 66 yards, but a touchdown. And he has shadowed DK Metcalf 3 times. One time Metcalf got the best of him with 96 yards, the other 2, 28. And 59. So that's what I find most interesting, how the Rams are going to deploy Ramsey.
Keep an eye on the Jason Pierre-Paul injury. He's banged up. Report yesterday he might not go in this game. No Pierre-Paul. I know Joe Tryon, the rookies, showed a lot, and he could probably fill in and be okay. But, you know, that's a big loss. If the Bucs are without Pierre-Paul, it is a significant loss in this game. I like the Rams. I just think McVay will have enough things cooked up for Stafford and his arm to take advantage of the secondary issues that the Bucs have right now. All right, let's go to a game that will probably be the early window, most exciting game. Are we going to have Romo in this game? I'd imagine. Like, does CBS just send Nance and Romo to wherever Mahomes is? Is that what we're doing? I hope. Chargers, Chiefs. Is that a Romo Nance game?
I would guess.
Yeah,
I would guess.
I hope it is. And it's a great spot. So the Chargers in Kansas City, as this number stayed at 6.5, I hadn't seen much at all movement all week.
This
has kind of stayed right there.
Start of the week, I love this, but we were getting 7. And it's been 6.5 for days, and it doesn't seem like it's going to budge here. Public more so on the Chiefs, but the Chargers are getting plenty of support. I'm sure part of the reason is because Herbert did a nice job last year against the Chiefs, and the Chiefs has not been covering the spread. 2-11 in the last 13 games ATS. Here's what I'm paying attention to right now. This Chargers injury report. Bosa did not practice yesterday. Mm-hmm. And Derwin James did not practice. I mean, Derwin James is a guy that's dealing with stuff every year.
Always.
You wish you can get a full season out of the guy, but you can't.
Remember Bob Sanders? Remember Bob Sanders back in the day?
Colts. Terrific player.
Yeah.
Couldn't stay healthy. Same position, too. If healthy, I really want to see this Kelce versus Derwin James matchup. Can't wait for the game as well. But sitting here on Friday, at 6.5, I don't think I could take the Chargers. There are too many other appealing options this week.
I do like the Chargers here. I mean, I mean, it's a long track record now where Kansas City just doesn't cover. Here's how the game and when the game will be decided. It's the red zone. So the Chiefs right now allow everyone to get in the red zone, and right now they're allowing teams to get in the end zone when they get in the red zone. The Chargers have had no trouble. I think the Chargers have 10 red zone trips in 2 games. You know how many touchdowns they've come away with? 1. They're not getting in the end zone. I mean, they're just not getting in the end zone. 3. They have 3 of 10. They've scored 3 of 10 touchdowns in the red zone. But that's 30%. That's pretty terrible. This is where the game will be decided. This is where the cover will be decided. Here's a question I have. With Staley, I mean, we know Anthony Lynn screwed things up. When they're in the red zone on Sunday, is Brandon Staley going for it on fourth down when they inevitably struggle and try to get in the end zone? He has to, right?
Touchdown game. It's always a touchdown game against the Chiefs.
Well, that's it then, right? If they convert those fourth downs in the red zone, I think they're going to cover. They're going to be right in this game. And if the Chiefs could stop them, well, then that's where the cover goes away. But I can't wait for this game. I like the Chargers to cover. Aaron, what do you think?
I think the Chargers are going to be tough to beat. 1-1 on the season, and they are entering a very tough stretch of games that could make or break their season. The Bolts are on the road against the Chiefs. Then they take on the Raiders, Browns, Ravens, and Patriots. So it's going to be super important to them to win this game. I think it's going to be tough. And then what we've been saying all week long, the Chiefs just don't cover. 1-11-1 against the spread in their last 13 games.
Yes. All right, let's jump to the Jets-Broncos. If we have time, we'll come back to Eagles-Cowboys. That's the Monday night game. But Jets-Broncos, this is one that will be a survivor play for a lot of people that didn't put a survivor on last night. I know a lot of people did. I know in your pool, Joe, I know we had the Panthers, so we're clear on the show. But if you didn't put the Panthers in last night, the Broncos might be the play. I understand it. They've been great the first 2 weeks. Teddy Bridgewater has been incredible the first 2 weeks of the season. And now you get the Jets coming in, who have not been able to protect their quarterback. And it just feels like the Jets have so many issues in this game. But doesn't this number feel so big? I mean, it's just...
As it is.
It is. I mean, and I know Teddy Bridgewater, what, he's 38-14 against the spread as a starter, which is incredible. But I don't know. The number just feels heavy.
It was knocked down a little bit. It was 11.5 earlier in the week. Now we're down to 10.5, and you're right. I mean, everyone's down on Zach Wilson. The guy can't play. 4 interceptions in his first 10 pass attempts against the Patriots. The Jets don't have an offensive line with Becton down. I mean, it's been brutal. It's hard to make a case for that team. And now we've got the Denver Broncos in Mile High, where they've always played great in September. They have a great ATS record in September as well, and they're probably going to start the season 3-0. I'm rooting for some chaos because I'm not using the Broncos in any of my survivor picks. That's the team they're a big favorite, and I've just decided to avoid, hoping that can help. But I'm not holding out a lot of hope. Bridgewater's been great. He's been terrific. I can't really knock on the Broncos too much. They've got a couple injuries, you know, like Judy, but it didn't impact them last week. Teddy Bridgewater right now, number 1 in EPA, number 2 in QBR in the National Football League. So they're going to be the most popular survivor play. I'm not interested in this game. I'm not betting the Jets, and I'm certainly not laying this number.
Teddy Bridgewater, averaging 296 yards passing a game and two touchdowns per game. The Broncos only have allowed two passing touchdowns so far this season. No team has scored more than 13 points on them this year. Woo! This does
good
not
luck.
Look good for Zach Wilson, my friend.
It doesn't.
Good luck. And we got the report earlier this week. He's dealing with a groin issue. Now, he practiced. You know, he's not in danger of missing the game, but he is – and he likes to move. Like, you know, some quarterbacks, they're not feeling great. Like, all right, well, they can just get through this. He likes to move. He likes the off-platform throws. So this could be a big one. But no Bradley Chubb. The pass rush for the Broncos might not be what we think it should be because they have an injury there. So if I had to pick this game, I'd pick the Jets with the points.
So would I.
Yeah, I would take it. But
if you had
the Jets?
No, I don't know. I'm not touching it.
Pass.
Yeah.
Pass out. Root for chaos. I like it. All right, coming up on the other side. Well, we got to get into this. The show contest picks. I'll play devil's advocate. Joe and Paul will try to finalize their picks. This is always a fun segment. We'll do that coming up next. This is BetQL Daily, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook, right here on the BetQL Network.
These Joes are helping you bet like a pro. It's Joe Ostrowski and Joe Giglio and Aaron Hawksworth on BetQL Daily, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.